Well, Thanksgiving's coming. I asked the kids. And so I'm going to ask you, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving season? What are you going to be thankful for around the table? Your family. Family. Children. What else? You have a job. All right. Church. Happy to be here. Health. What else? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Others, what are you going to be thankful for?
Everything.
Everything? Have you felt like you've been blessed this year? Me too. Me too. You know, there are some people who have lots of things that they're thankful for at Thanksgiving. You know, I'm going to be thankful too for my kids that are around and others. But there are some people that are thankful for some other things. How many of you are thankful for, guess what? Football. Who's thankful for football? Ready? All right, throw it back. Oh! And it didn't go through the uprights. Hey, you want to play for the Browns? Here you go. Who's ready back here? Here you go. All right, send them to Baltimore. Here, who said that? Here it comes. Hey! All right. Football. Football. There are those who are thankful for football. You ready? Ready? Hike it. It's tough to do with a robe on. All right. We're thankful for football. Will you hold my football for me? All right. You know, this is also Pledging Sunday, and you've heard about that. But I'm going to give you a different type of stewardship sermon that you've probably not heard about. Because I'm not going to talk to you about money. There will be no mention of the budget. There will be no mention saying that, you know, the church needs X number of dollars. I'm not going to talk about that. Not important. Hear that, Ken? You're the treasurer. Right? Not talking about money. It's not what's important. Look, see what we got here? What do we got here? A football field. Yes, I'm going to hang it right up here. I want to talk to you about your spirituality. You see, the giving that you do, the tithing that you do, is not about the needs of the church. It is about your relationship with God. You always thought it was to make the church budget, didn't you? You always thought it was to give the pastor a salary increase. Whatever. It's not about that at all. Forget all that. It's not important. What is important is your connection to God. Your and my spirituality. In Malachi, you heard in Malachi that God was a little angry with the people of Israel. They had fallen away from their relationship with God. They had begun to do things that they wanted to do. And instead of worrying about their spiritual connectedness to God, they were doing whatever felt good. Not that everything that God wants us to do should make us feel bad. That's not the case at all. God wants us to do good. And God tells us in the scriptures that there will come a time when God's people will bring an offering in righteousness. In righteousness. He also says, hey, bring a full tithe into my storehouse. What's a tithe? It is an offering, but let's be honest, it's 10%. Bring a full tithe into my storehouse and see if I won't bless you, that it overflows. comes down the aisle, can't put it all on the table. See if I won't give you such blessings that you won't be able to take it all in. How many of you feel blessed this year? But what is a gift of righteousness? What's that mean? It means that the gift that we give, whatever it is, has to be not because we have to, but because we want to. It's not that we give because the preacher says, give. We give because we have a relationship with God. And we know and understand the blessings that we have from God in the good times and the bad. Because it ain't always a piece of cake. It's not always a piece of cake. This year there will be no talk about finance. Not for me. A few weeks ago I asked you, how is it with your soul? Remember that? A few last week I gave you some Play-Doh. If you weren't here, everybody got Play-Doh. And they were to make something with their Play-Doh. Because God was going to mold us. And this week we're talking about our pledging. Our pledging is a commitment to give to God. And we're using the football theme. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a football, every time somebody makes a pledge, we have some footballs, and we're going to stick a little football on the line until we hopefully reach our pledge. This isn't about, do you see the numbers down the side? They start at zero and they end at zero. It's not about collection. It's about how many of us make a spiritual commitment to God. Whatever that is. Whether you give from your, whatever you can give. You know, 25 cents for the year. I don't care. Get a football. $5 million, you get a football. And you might get a phone call from the pastor, maybe a visit. I might even make you a pie. No. You get a football up here. And hopefully we'll get enough to fill this entire playing field. And when we do, guess what? This goes all the way to Super Bowl Sunday. And guess what we're going to do on Super Bowl Sunday or the Sunday after Super Bowl to celebrate? We're going to have a tailgate party. We're going to be tailgating it. And we're going to have a blast. And I want you to think of something that maybe you'll want to do as a recognition of reaching our goal. Maybe something you challenge the pastor to do. Oh. So think about it. But I want to talk about this righteousness. Righteousness is a state of being in your heart and soul. It is not about a thing that you do, but it is about the motivation by which you do it. If you do something simply because are going to receive, it's not righteous. If you do something out of love for God, from the thankfulness in your heart, then it's righteousness. Then it's righteousness. How many of us want to know what life is all about? Why are you here? And I don't mean here in this church. Why are you here? Want to know that? It's for righteousness. It's for relationship with God. That's why you're here. The other day, I had the pleasure of hearing a man speak at a Rotary meeting. And the gentleman was a renowned heart doctor, a cardiologist. And he taught at Notre Dame. And he was a great doctor. Man, he knew it. He was the guy you wanted to go to if you had heart problems, right? And he would talk about how he would go into a room and he would have people following. You know, it's a teaching hospital. So he'd have people following him as he went into the room. And he would go into the room and he would examine the patient. You know how doctors come in and, how are you? Give her so-and-so, you know, put her on a heart monitor, increase her level of this, and this. Thank you. Good to see you. And out the door he would go, and he'd send her the bill. Right? And so would everybody else in the room send her a bill. But he was good. And he was successful. But he didn't know what life was about. He didn't know what his life was about. Nope, he didn't have a heart attack. He decided that he needed to find out. So he went on a trip. And he sought out this little old shriveled up lady, who, by the way, was having heart problems. Little teeny shriveled up old lady. What do you think you would know from a little old shriveled up old lady? You're going to be little and shriveled up old lady one day. Close. We're there. Come, close. Well, it just so happened that this little shriveled up old lady was a living saint. You know her name. Her name was Teresa. Mother Teresa. And he went to her and he said, "What is life about?" She told him, she says, "It's about what you do in your relationship with God. It's about what you do for others, not for yourself." He was intrigued, so I think he was in Mexico or something at the time she was there for treatment, but ended up going back to Calcutta again. And there he met her again as she was caring for the sick and the dying. She set up, you know, these hospices, if you will, or these places where the needy and the poor and the down and out and the lowly of lowlies could go and find some comfort in their toughest times of life. And again he met with her. And he says, "What's it all about?" She says, "Come on and go with me." There was a woman who had leprosy and who was dying. You know what leprosy is? We've talked about that. Her wounds were gaping and open. Her life was dying. She was part of the group that nobody would touch. She was, quote, an untouchable. She was poor with no medical care, nothing. And she was brought to Mother Teresa's facility, her place where she tried to do the work she could do at her age. And this man met her and she said, "Come with me. And I can just, can't you almost picture this? little old lady bent over, just shuffling along, you know, walking down to the place where this woman was at with the doctor trailing. She enters the room. The great heart surgeon goes to the room, to the door, but he can't go in. The smell was rancid. The woman was in terrible agony. Her wounds were extreme. And here's Mother Teresa taking the best she can to clean the wounds, to comfort her, and just to hold her. Because in her world, she couldn't even be touched. Even in the midst of her death, she couldn't be touched. And the doctor couldn't bring himself to go into the room, you say? Because he was used to going into the room. Oh, you look good. Give her 20 milligrams of so-and-so, give her so-and-so, and out the door. For him, the people he treated just was a thing. For her, the people she treated were human beings with a connection to their God. He got nauseous. He couldn't bring himself to go into the room. When she came out, she saw him. And he was just broken. He was broken. Because he had felt that he had failed in his life. She said to him, "I cannot do what you do. I cannot heal the heart. But you can't do what I do either. Comfort the soul. Do you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to do what God has gifted you to do, to the best you can do it. But this is what you need to do. Remember that every person you treat is more than just a body. They are a child of God. Treat them as a child of God. Love them as a child of God. You can't do what I do. You do what you do, and I'll do what I do. Righteousness? Little old bent over lady? Just shuffling on? Righteous. Cardiologist, if he remembers who he's treating, that they're a child of God, and answers to that, his is righteousness too. When you bring an offering to the Lord, you bring it, pardon me, from a righteous heart. bring it out of your relationship with God. Or don't bring it. You hear what I'm saying? I want to make this clear. If you're not going to give out of love, then keep it in your pocket. What we give to here in this place is we give our thanks to God. We worship our God, our Creator, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And our gift needs to be right. That's every why I tell you every Sunday, give from your heart. Give from your relationship with God. You know, I truly believe, and I'm a witness to this in my life, that when I am faithful, when I walk in God's way, when I do what God wants me to do, when I give with a thankful heart, God truly blesses me. When I give not thinking about what I'm going to get back, God blesses me. You know, there are many, you ever buy a ticket to a raffle? You know? If there was a raffle and I bought every ticket except for one because I wanted to win that raffle, I'd lose. Because I was buying it in the wrong thing. So, as you're considering making a pledge, whatever it is, getting a football up here, and you know what, I've asked the stewardship committee to make this to be footballs, because it's the football theme, and you're going to see other things coming out. There are going to be buttons that I pledge and some things. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time with it. But I'm wondering if maybe it should, instead of being football, it should have been heart. Whatever you give, no pledge too small, no pledge too big. As long as it's done from the heart. I'm thankful myself for a lot of things, and that's why I give. I want to make one thing clear. There are a lot of things, this is a side note. There are a lot of things I'm thankful for in this church. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the great leadership in this church and for people who step up and do things. I'm thankful for Joyce and Rachel and Barb and all the choir and the music people and all that kind of stuff. But one person I'm really thankful for is Sharon Heinrich. She keeps me together. She is my right hand, and I'm so thankful for her. And I just want to let you know that. I am really thankful. Wherever you are, Sharon, do you hear that? So when you give out a grateful heart. Now, to close my sermon, there's a special song we're going to have sung for you today. Ladies, will you sing for us?